Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. What's up, everybody? It's time for another takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, and we are brought to you by Deal Dash. DealDash.com. Today I have a very special guest lined up for you. He's the host of Mad Dog Sports Radio, Lotus Broadcasting, The Raiders, and the author of the Handoff, JT and Looney podcast. So now let's welcome to the show JT the Brick. And JT, the Raiders have landed in Las Vegas. First, I want to get to talking about Raider Nation Radio. You're going to be a big part of that here in Las Vegas, 9:20 a.m. on Lotus Broadcasting. JT, what can you tell us about your new show coming up?
I'm excited. This is a dream of mine to be an anchor on a flagship station for the Raiders. I was for years in the Bay Area, but for this launch in Vegas for Raider Nation Radio, it's a big deal. So my time slot will be noon to two every day. We'll have the coaches, the players, the best insiders, and most importantly, the fans of the Raider Nation. You see, Heidi, what's happened over the years, especially in the Bay Area, is that the Raider fans have been pushed aside. I've talked to more Raider fans than anyone in all of sports radio history, but on most sports stations, you'll have a different type of show. You'll cover baseball, the NBA, and all of that. And we'll cover the breaking news stories here in Vegas when it happens, but this station is dedicated to the Raider fans, where the Raider fans will be able to listen live or stream live, listen on demand, and get all the Raider content that they want. But the key is they have a voice. So it's a place where Raider fans will be able to call in when they're happy, when they're upset, when they want to see a change, when they're euphoric after a win. So this is the first time that this has really happened where the Raiders have a partner that is completely dedicated to them on the radio, and I'm just honored to be a part of it.
It's so huge, like you're saying. I mean, the Raiders have never had anything like this, much less now. They have their own place to call home here at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I find it a little bit saddening, though, that, like you were talking about the fans, it doesn't seem like that will be something that they will get to enjoy in the first season. Mark Davis has said it's all or none when it comes to having fans in Allegiant in 2020. Do you think right now, when you look over the scope of things, and I know it's a lot to ask because we're in uncertain times, there's a pandemic, but do you think that right now we're looking at no fans in Allegiant Stadium in 2020?
I'm going to stay in my lane on that and listen to the boss and listen to Roger Goodell. There's still time left. As you know, the Garth Brooks concert was canceled. And if you look at the preseason being canceled, there is still some runway space, I believe, to get fans in. And Mark Davis is more passionate about this topic than any other topic because he cares about the fans in the upper deck, just like the fans who will have suites next to him and fans in the club section. So I've always thought, Heidi, that we'd have fans. I always hoped that we'd have fans, but it's been very discouraging with the COVID numbers, not only nationally, but what's happening in Clark County. But I'm optimistic if people can put a mask on, if people have an opportunity to go to a game with a mask on, sign a waiver, if people that aren't feeling healthy don't go to games, if all of this can come together, that at some point Raider fans will be able to go inside Allegiant Stadium. That's the plan. Governor Sisolak is involved with this decision, along with Mark Bedain, the president, and Roger Goodell. It's going to be tough for me to get my head wrapped around, well, Jacksonville will only have 20,000 fans. Baltimore might only have 12. A hotspot city might have none. And then all of a sudden, we're going to have 50,000 fans. I mean, reality-wise, that doesn't seem like it could happen, but I know that everybody's working to try to get fans in the stadium. We're in a unique situation, just like in Los Angeles with the Chargers and the Rams. When you put that much money into the infrastructure of two different big cities like Las Vegas and Los Angeles, if you can find a way to make this work, you have to exhaust every opportunity And we'll know more here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, training camp is now underway, and it's pretty much like no other training camp that you or I have ever been a part of. That being that we are not allowed, yesterday was the first day on Tuesday of Raider training camp, and normally we would have seen each other face to face, we would have been out there, we would have been watching them go through drills. This is something that we are not used to yet as far as how the new protocols are happening. What do you know about how the Raiders testing protocol has gone? And right now, when you look at training camp, I mean, how different is this really for everybody involved?
Well, as we're doing this, everything has been perfect so far, right? So the testing has been great. The protocol has been amazing. And around the NFL, I expect to see some positive tests as players who leave their families and come and travel all over from all over the country. Eventually, and the Raiders have been very fortunate as their testing has been outstanding, that this is a different world we're living in. And Heidi, I look at the fact that they're in a brand new facility with state-of-the-art equipment, cameras. They're going to be wearing these watches, distancing watches. They're going to be social distancing. You know, the players aren't going to be walking by the staff because they're not in the building. They're not going to be with other position players. This thing is so buttoned up that it's going to be something that is unique to the Raiders and every other team. But I think the Raiders have an advantage here because of the work that they've gotten in the offseason. No one's on the practice field. It's going to be different. Training camp is not going to be what we're used to in Napa. When we walk outside in that beautiful fresh air outside and we watch players stretch and work out and break off into position battles. Everything's getting pushed back here a little bit, but once John Gruden gets the opportunity to get these players in pads and able to go through walkthroughs, I think that the Raiders are going to take this to the next level. They got competition all over this roster, so they need to get on the field in competitive battles to see who's going to make this roster.
I can always just taste the first day in pads. I love watching them when they get in there and you know somebody's going to get heated and there's going to be these kind of, I love that, these skirmishes and things. And so far we're going to have to be patient and wait things out. But I did want to talk to you a little bit before we get into some position battles, just about the opt-out policies this season in the NFL, because so far there have been no Raiders that have opted out. I don't know if you're anticipating that any may. As of right now, we don't have any, but What are your thoughts on the opt-out policies and what you've seen from it so far?
It's a really important question. I host a national show on Sirius XM on Mad Dog Sports Radio, and my most recent show was all about the Patriots opting out. Six of the Patriots have opted out, including Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung, who are really good players. Look, Heidi, players are going to opt out, and they have the right to do that. And the question is, are they going to get $350,000 because it's a medical issue or a family issue, or they voluntarily going to walk away for $150,000. And that's up to the player. In sports radio, we get to the point where we're always accusing people for doing something wrong or why are they doing this. This is clearly a personal matter when it comes to health and wellness. So if any player wants to sit out this season because they don't feel safe or they have a family member who's compromised, I don't think anyone in the Raider Nation will hold that player and say that that player is doing something wrong to hurt the team. So far from everything and Vinny Bonsignor's reporting and everything that you guys know about, you do such a great job that this isn't a problem. Everybody wants to play, but you know, we have to get through all this testing. We have to see what happens here. This is such a fluid situation that I wouldn't be shocked if a player opted out, but from what we're sensing, everybody's gung-ho. Everybody's ready to go. And everybody's ready to be a Raider for the first year in the history of this franchise in Las Vegas. This wouldn't be the year that you'd want to opt out of the Raiders unless it was an emergency or something that you had to do for your family.
All right, let's go ahead right there and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with JT the Brick and get his take on some of the expectations of this Raiders team in 2020. Stay tuned right here on the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. Let's go. Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's one of the best bidding sites where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at zero and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code VegasNation or DealDash.fm/VegasNation. That's DealDash.fm/VegasNation. Welcome back to the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang here, and I am on the line with JT the Brick, host of the Raiders, now joining Raider Nation Radio. This is so exciting, and I want to get now into the position battles because this Raiders roster has so much depth this year. It's something that when you look at it, the improvements that they've made in defense, to the offense with the wide receivers that they've picked up. Where do you see right now, JT, perhaps the biggest position battle lying for this Raiders squad?
The position battles that matter the most are on defense, period. I don't see, Heidi, any battles on offense. I mean, this offense is loaded, loaded. I'm talking top three or four in the entire league. When healthy and Carr has Jacobs and Ingold, Waller, Witt, and Moreau, when you go out to Tyrell Williams, Hunter Renfrow, Henry Ruggs III, and what they're able to do with Aguilar and some of these slot receivers, the offensive line, when healthy, and that's key. The offensive line's got to be healthy. They look great on paper. But with Richie Incognito and what we're seeing with Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson and the rest of these tackles with Brown and especially Colt Miller, who's going to have a big year. Let me get that into this. Colt Miller is going to have a potential Pro Bowl season. He is a beast. That offense, I'm not even talking about it much. All anybody wants to talk about is Mariota pushing Carr. That's a good problem to have because there's no real position battles. It's how many footballs are going to be available. How many touches are they going to get? But when we go to defense, what is the rotation going to be up front with this defensive line, with Malik Collins coming in, Max Crosby, Carl Nassib, Mo Hurst, I'm expecting to have a big year. He's got to play at a big level. Cleveland Farrell, as you know, the amount of muscle mass he put on, I don't know what he was doing in the offseason, but he looks like a freak. And then what we're seeing with Tanner Muse and Littleton and especially Nick Kwiatkowski. But then let's go to the back end, the secondary. Who's going to start at corner? Who's going to be the starting safeties? Who are the backups? How are they going to compete? Because that's been the Achilles heel of this team for quite some time, is that they get beat deep, they get beat deep short, and they don't have linebackers who can tackle in space. Mike Mayock addressed that in the offseason, and now there's depth. And I can't wait to see Jonathan Abram play. Everybody's talking about Jamal Adams, right, and the deal he got, leaving the Jets, the trade he's going to get going to Seattle. Well, the Raiders have a player like that who has got to explode in year two, which is really year one for him because he didn't play last year.
Yeah, Jonathan Abram is one I'm curious to see, as well as the additions. Now you have Damon Arnett, Amik Robertson. This secondary, like you said, has become beyond interesting for me. Do you think with LaMarcus Joyner this year that he gets moved back to safety and not play slot corner? Or do you still expect him to be in that position?
Great question. I think experience-wise, you have to have him slot corner just because of what he's seen in this league and how he matches up with personnel. That's a really important question you bring up because he could slide out to safety. He can play in the slot, he can run, he can put his hands on players. But again, he's got to play better. He came to this team with high expectations. And last year when we came out of that London trip, I was pretty excited with where this defense was. And the defense with injuries and some of the issues that they've had didn't take the next step. He's a big part of it. He's making a lot of money. He's a leader. And I don't know what he did in this offseason, but there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on him. Out of the gate, look at this schedule. Christian McCaffrey out of the gate, a guy who's going to be moving around and lining up everywhere. Okay, he's going to have to chase him down and tackle him in space. And then the Raiders open up with Drew Brees And Drew Brees can throw everything at you, every look from the slot receiver to receivers going wide to what they can do with their running backs who catch the ball. So Joyner's got to be ready to go because Arnett's new. He's not getting any work in. He's not going to be out on an island by himself in the first game, I believe. But the depth of veteran players in that secondary, this is a put up or shut up year for him and everybody else. They got to play at a high level. Paul Gunther deserves these defensive players to play at a much higher level than they played at last year.
And we're here with JT the Brick. He can catch his show Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM as well as now on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM with Lotus Broadcasting. JT, I wanted to ask you about Derek Carr, even though, you know, you said everybody's asking that question, but is this a make or break year for him? Because a lot of people have not been entirely sold on him as being the franchise quarterback of the Raiders. Now with Mariota there, yeah, I think that could be some cause for competition to push the level up, to make him play up to a certain level. But I think a lot of what has happened with Derek Carr is he's had different offensive coordinators. He hasn't been under the same system for multiple years, but now he's finally there. Do you think that this is a year where we see big things from Derek Carr, especially with healthy wide receivers?
Yeah, let's define make or break. This is a big question, and it's not going to go away. And it should go away because this is Derek's team, and he's a Pro Bowl level quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. If Derek doesn't play well, he will not be the quarterback of the team long term. I think he's going to play great. I think he has the ability. He's completely healthy. He's dialed into the third year of the Gruden program. He's got all the weapons that he needs to have. 4,000 yards, 70% completion. So as long as he just takes care of business and doesn't get injured, which we're not going to predict, or he doesn't have really bad games, 3 interceptions, bad losses, bad decisions, he's fine. He's fine. He's very good. The Raiders are a much better team, a playoff caliber team with this offense, but they need Derek to rise to the next level. Mike Pritchard, who's going to be one of my new teammates here on Raider Nation Radio, was a 13th pick overall in the NFL draft and a really good wide receiver. And Mike points out that Derek's got to go to another level. And what is that next level? That level is making more plays downfield, just doing a little bit more to look off a safety, to look off a corner, to change a play at the line of scrimmage, extend the play another second, second and a half, so that a player like Henry Ruggs III, who has the ability, just like a Tyreek Hill, can get open downfield and get behind a secondary. That's on Derek, because the offensive line's really good. They're going to be able to run block. But Heidi, let me throw this out to you. It's 3rd and 5. Derek Carr is under center. You know he's going to pass. He's got Josh Jacobs, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's got Jason Witten. He's got Darren Waller. He's got Henry Ruggs in motion. He's got Hunter Renfrow in the slot. And he's got Nelson Aguilar, Tyrell Williams running a crossing route. If Derek doesn't get sacked instantly and he has 2 seconds to look at his options, someone is going to be wide open. I'm not talking open. I'm talking wide open. And all Derek's got to do is get the ball out, okay? Get it out and pick up a first down. Or hold on to the ball, sprint right, sprint left, plant his feet, and throw it 60 yards on a rope for a touchdown. That's what I'm expecting from Derek this year. More magical plays, more big plays. Remember, Rich Gannon didn't have a bigger arm than Derek Carr. But what Gannon did when he was a multiple Pro Bowler and an MVP is he made great decisions in critical times and games where the Raiders needed a big play. Derek Carr will do that this year.
Okay, who will have more receiving yards this season, Henry Ruggs or Darren Waller?
Wow, good question there. That's a good question because if you look at Waller's receiving yards last year, which were really good, I have no problem with that. I was disappointed that Waller didn't get in the end zone more. And that wasn't on him. He was being double teamed. Right, so they got in the red zone and he couldn't get in. I think Ruggs is going to be a little bit of a work in progress early because I don't know how confident they're going to be to get him the ball over Waller on third down or Renfrow on third down. So Ruggs is going to be a big hit guy, a big play wide receiver, but I'll take Ruggs with more yards. I'll take Waller with more touchdowns this year. I think forcing the ball into Waller this year, because he won't have as many double teams, he's going to the Pro Bowl. He is a stud And I just can't wait to see him take his game to the next level.
All right, last one for me, JT. I know you've got to get going. You're a busy guy, and I sure appreciate the time that you've given us here today on Vegas Nation. The last one for me, if you don't mind, predict the Raiders' record. Do they make the playoffs in 2020?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I don't predict much, but I think this is a playoff team. On paper, they look to be a 9-7 team. The schedule is tough. It is tough, but the good news is the Raiders get their toughest games at home against Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and you look at Phillip Rivers and the Colts and all the games on this home schedule, which is difficult, and they're going to be make-or-break games. So I think the Raiders 9-7 is a fair prediction. If they beat a team like Tom Brady or Drew Brees early, I think they have to get off to a great start, Heidi. They got to beat Carolina. I think if they beat Carolina to open the season on the road, the Jets are in a rebuild. They could beat Cleveland. I think they beat Buffalo. They're better than Buffalo at home, with or without fans. So I got the Raiders a little bit better than 500 or 9 wins. But an early win against Drew Brees or Tom Brady on primetime, I think gets the Raiders to a 10-win season. They got to be a playoff team. I mean, there's no more waiting around. I mean, whatever happens to the Raiders is going to happen. It's not going to be because of what JT the Brick says with their record. But I can tell you that John Gruden and the expectations of Mike Mayock, or this is a playoff team every year going forward. And they have to beat Kansas City in the division. They got to get home playoff games at Allegiant Stadium. And that journey begins right now.
JT, thank you so much again for the time. Let everybody know where they can find you and where they can hear your shows.
Raider Nation Radio, beginning August 3rd, noon to 2 p.m. And that is on 920 a.m. in Vegas. Stay tuned for an app and the ability to live stream at Raiders.com. And then my national show is every night at 8 p.m. on Mad Dog Sports Radio. That's Sirius XM 82. A lot of other surprises coming up with the Raiders from that broadcasting department. This is going to be a special year, Heidi.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you again so much. That was JT the Brick, and you'll want to keep up with him because he, along with our own Raiders beat writer, Vinny Bonsignor, will be a part of Raider Nation Radio. You're not going to want to miss that. And to keep up with all things that we're doing here at the Review Journal, make sure to check out VegasNation.com. You can also head over to the app. Download that today, the Vegas Nation app. Make sure to subscribe to this show wherever you are listening. And everybody out there, we appreciate you tuning into this show. You can catch all of our Vegas Nation lineup weekly Monday with Vinny Bonsignor, First and 10, and Fridays, Unsportsmanlike Conduct with Ed Greeny and Adam Hill, and Wednesdays with me, Heidi Fang. So thanks everybody for checking everything out. Give me a follow on Twitter at Heidi Fang or any other social media platform. Thank you everybody so much for tuning in. I'll be back next week.